If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. Listen now to the word of God. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message. What race are you running? Let's pray. God, empower us with the Holy Spirit so that our ears would be open to you, that our hearts would be open, that we're not just listening, but we're, in a way, we're eating. We are receiving. We're gaining nutrition from your word. We're gaining direction. Lord, you're showing us the path in front of us. Lord, we want to be people who are guided by your word. We want to be molded and shaped by your word. So Lord, would you allow us to really evaluate our lives, to reflect on the lives that we've been living, see if it matches up with your word, be honest with ourselves about the faith life that we are living, and in the areas where we sense that there needs to be a change, help us to have the courage, help us to have the boldness to start pursuing that change, to start walking with you, to allow you to change and shake up our lives a little bit. Lord, we need guidance in this world. Even when we think we have everything figured out, even when we feel like we've gone to church our whole lives and we've experienced everything there is to experience, Lord, you're still taking us to new places. You're still allowing us to see new things and feel new experiences. So Lord, would you ground us upon your word so that we can understand the things that you're putting us through, the areas you're taking us. And Lord, help us to not go through these things with fear, with apprehension, but Lord, that we would have confidence and courage as we take on this life. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. And we trust that you are moving in us, that you are moving us to the areas where you want us to go, that you're working in us. Lord, we know we're not finished products. No matter how old we are, Lord, you're still working in us and we're still your children. So Lord, as we develop, as we walk with you, Lord, may we continue to have the courage to walk step by step, to follow you where you go, to go where you ask us to go. Lord, we thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've been discussing the life of Paul. And so in a sense, this one kind of concludes my three-part series on Paul's life. We discussed Paul's identity. We discussed who Paul is. And him knowing who he was allowed him to do his ministry. It allowed him to face his hardships. He knew what he was called towards. He knew his purpose. And he wasn't afraid to declare that to all the congregations that he wrote these letters to. And so to kind of jog your memory, we had that sermon where it was the introduction for all of the letters. And that was just a way to show Paul knew who he was. He knew what he was doing, and he wasn't afraid to proclaim it. But the next thing, and you know, I had a really nice surprise this morning when I walked in. I just wanted to share it. It's Minyoung walk. I saw Minyoung as he was walking up to me, and he, you know, greeted me, and not Reverend Minyoung Lee, little Minyoung, and he came up to me and he said, "Oh, Pastor Edwin, I really liked your sermon," and I was like, "Yeah, that part about John." So if you remember last week, it's also important to know, and it was important for him to know whose he was, who he was with, and that was what gave him courage to continue on with what he was doing. He knew who was behind him. He knew who was protecting him. He knew who was guiding him. And so even though he faced lots of hardships, it really helped him to get through those times. You know, I'm with you. I'm going to be there with you. And to have that assurance and to also know, and I have people in the city who are going to support you, who are going to be there for you. And that's what allowed him also to continue on with his ministry. And so we find ourselves now in a situation with Paul in this passage. And in a sense, things are kind of wrapping up for Paul's journey, for his mission. And when I read this, it fills me with a little bit of sadness. It fills me with a little bit of fear. It shows me sometimes the way that God works. And it's not always the happy ending, or it's not always the ending that we would want for ourselves. And so we see this scene in Acts 20. And to just give you a little bit of background, Paul, as we just read, he's compelled and he knows that his journey is going to lead him to Jerusalem. A lot of parallelism, right, towards Jesus' life. But Paul kind of understands that he's not really sure what's waiting for him there. And maybe he has a sense that this is the final step. This is where, you know, his struggles are really meant to be faced head on. And so he says that even in his words. He knows, perhaps, that this is the most dangerous place for him. He knows that he's walking kind of into the lion's den. He's walking to where the people who want to, you know, the people that have been kind of antagonizing him, the people who have been kind of following him on his journey, they're probably coming from Jerusalem. So he's going to meet them head on. And as I was reading this and as I was preparing this passage, I was like, man, you know, it's exactly the place I wouldn't want to go. This is exactly the area that I wouldn't want to go. You know, all these other places, if God sent him to all these places where he founded his churches, where he had congregations that supported him, where he had kind of allies and companions, you know, I'd be like, why don't you send me there? You know, that makes the most sense to me. I can look to that congregation and I could go, oh, you know, I can make a really good life for myself there. I can be really comfortable there. They know me. They listen to me. They see me as like a spiritual father. They're going to treat me well there. But the Spirit compels him to go to Jerusalem. And it's kind of the center. And it's kind of where it is the most dangerous for him. It's probably the place that poses the biggest threat to his safety, to his future. And I think his words, and again, and what I want to keep reminding you of is this is just a man. This is just a human. This is not some kind of perfect spiritual being, or he's not Son of God, or he's not, you know, someone that's supposed to be a deity. He's just a person. But these are the words that he says because he's filled with the presence of God, because he's filled with the Spirit of God, and he's compelled by the Spirit of God. He knows that this is where his life is supposed to go. He knows that his journey is supposed to take him to Jerusalem. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. He knows that he must go to Jerusalem. Probably he knows what's waiting for him there. He knows that there is a lot of danger in that city. It kind of reminded me, the image that I had was of a marathon. And everybody at the marathon, you get all clumped together. You're all crowded together. But the thing about a marathon is everybody's facing the same direction. Everybody knows that there's a finish line somewhere, right? Would you run? I don't like running. I'm very fast. I like to run when I'm playing sports, but I don't like the action of running just to run. I find it to be too boring for me. But would you run that marathon if there was no finish line? If you just were just running endlessly, you're just kind of like, where am I going? How far am I supposed to go? Now, that finish line is such an important thing. It gives you a goal. It gives you an end. It gives you something to shoot for and something to aim for. And when you start that race, everyone's pointed towards the finish line. No one runs in the opposite direction. And there's always a route. There's always a way to go so that you can reach that finish line. Imagine running a marathon and you're just running like left and right. You're running like through the blocks. You know, they have that area. They have that path set out for you. But you decide, no, I don't want to go that way. I'm going to make my own way to the finish line. And sometimes our faith life is like that. We go, oh God, I'll meet you there somehow. I'll meet you there at some point. And you start running in zigzags. But a marathon with a finish line that has a definite distance is hard enough as it is. When you start running off in different directions, when you start running left and right and around the blocks, and you don't run that exact path, then you probably get tired. You probably are running more than the allotted amount. It's more than the miles that you're supposed to run. And so sometimes you can't reach that finish line. Sometimes you give up before you get there. But see, Paul knew where his path was. He knew where that finish line was. He knew where it was going to take him. Where do these runners go? They go to wherever the finish line is. They're not thinking about, oh, this is the best path. Oh, this is where it inclines or declines. This is the path of least resistance. I should run here because there's less wind, because the ground is good here, because it's comfortable for me to run this path because I've run it before. No, they run the path that is set before them so that they can reach the finish line. You see, that finish line is so important. And knowing what your purpose is, what your goal is. Sometimes people run a marathon and it's good for them. You know, sometimes they just run it just to run it for the sake of running it. Like whether I finish, whether I don't. If I tire after 1 mile, I'm just going to get there and then I'll just walk and go home. There are people that are like that. Unfortunately, there are people who live their spiritual lives like that too. We kind of go, you know, if I get there, I get there. If, you know, by some chance I somehow meet the finish line, if somehow by whatever I do or whatever, you know, I do on Sundays, whatever devotional life I have through the week, if somehow I get close to the finish line, that's good enough for me. But I do think that's a problem. I do think sometimes we have to consider, where is the finish line for your life? What race are you running? What path are you on? What does God want you to do? You have to know some of these things. Where am I trying to go? You see, if you know these things and if you have assurance of that, if the Spirit convicts your heart of those things, then even if it takes you to the dangerous places, even if it takes you out of your comfort zone, even if it takes you to Jerusalem, you're willing to stay on that track. You're willing to run the race. You're willing to finish. You see, Paul didn't start this race just so he could run through it mindlessly. He didn't start this race just to go in whatever direction he wanted to go. If it were me, if I look back on this story, if it were me, I would say, God, this is the place for me. I want to be with, you know, and he's in a place where he calls the elders of the Ephesus church. And what it shows me is there's affection there. You know, and the people, they weep over him. They plead with him not to go because they know what's waiting for him in Jerusalem. They have a sense of what's going to happen to Paul if he goes to Jerusalem. So they're praying for him. They lay their hands on him. They're crying for him. And they're pleading with him not to go. What I see there is there's real affection there. And Paul shares that affection because before he goes on this journey, he calls them to him. He needs that strength. He needs those prayers. He wants to see them once again, and he declares to them, you know, I'm probably not going to see you again. And when I read that and when I look at that, I go, man, just stay with them. They like you. They listen to you. You know, they can really be trained. You can really teach them amazing things. You can do amazing things with this congregation. You have the support of these elders who are willing to cry for you, who are willing to pray for you. Stay there. You can do better ministry there. Your life is wasted if you go to Jerusalem. Yeah, those things make sense. It seems kind of reasonable. If I were reading that situation just as a human, if I were reading that situation even as a modern pastor, you know, like looking at the situation, the working environment that he has, I'd be like, hey, stay there. That's a congregation that wants you. That's a congregation that needs you. But Paul knew where his finish line was. Even though he had affection for that congregation, even though they didn't want him to leave, he knew that his next step was to go somewhere where he might not have wanted to go. He knew that it was maybe his last destination. He knew that there was incredible hardship waiting for him there. I can't help but think about this these days. I don't know if this is like, if I'm not supposed to share things like this, but I wanted to anyway, and I prayed about it a little bit, and it was like, God was like, it's okay. So I'm going to start the ordination process shortly. I'm kind of like 1 foot, not even, but like maybe a toe is in the door. I'm just applying to be a candidate for ordination. And it makes me think about a lot of things. It makes me think, and when Moksanim and I discuss these sort of things, a lot of times he always advises me, you know, I want you to find your place. I want you to know what ministry you're called to. Not just because of comfort, not just because of what other people want or what other people need. And so that's been on my mind a lot, especially as I've been having to fill out like applications, having to write like what I feel like my call in ministry is about, really reevaluating where I am, where I'm headed, where I'm going. And in some ways, there's some uncertainty. There's some things that I'm not sure of. There's some things that I would like to be sure of, but that I'm not sure of. And in some ways, I get really pushed and challenged by these few verses. It's a little section that just says, you know, I'm compelled by the Spirit to go where I don't want to go, to go where sometimes my human nature would prevent me from going. And there's affection, there's comfort, there's familiarity. That's what I sense when he calls the elders together to pray for him. They know him. They like him. They listen to him. And then I'm sure they need him also. But Paul doesn't fall for that. He doesn't go for what he thinks he needs to do or what would be most comfortable for him. He looks forward to what his calling is. He looks forward to what his race is about, where his finish line is. And he's willing to go. And obviously, if you know the story of Paul, he ends up going. And a lot of the things that he was worried about, they end up happening. And all the things that the elders were crying about, those are the things that come to fruition. And sometimes life with God is like that. As Christians, we need to understand that and we need to accept that. That your finish line sometimes takes you to places that makes you uncomfortable. It's not always the thing that makes sense. It's not always the place where everyone thinks you're supposed to be. It's not even the place where people want you. Even in the place that you perceive you're needed. What race are you running? Where is your finish line? How have you been living your spiritual life? Are you even searching for those answers? Do you even ever wonder what God wants to do with your life? You see, so many times we allow ourselves to be comfortable in the situations that we find ourselves in. And when we seek that, when we find comfort in that, when we find security in that, then we're going to stay on that beach. We're going to stay there with the elders. We're going to go, you know what? You're right. You make more sense. You make a really good point there. I shouldn't go to Jerusalem. And a lot of times in our faith lives, we do that. God, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to just go to the places that I know I'm wanted, to the know where I'm going to be accepted, to know where I can do ministry, and I can do it very comfortably. But that might not be where your finish line is. That might not be the path that the Spirit is compelling you towards. You have to search for that. You have to ask God, what is my purpose in this? And if you don't have a sense of purpose, then very soon you'll see that you're just living a routine. You're just going through your days. You're just kind of allowing yourself to just get through Sundays. But if you have a purpose, then each time, each moment with God is precious. Then everything that he says to you, his words are precious. Every prayer is precious. You need to have that assurance. You need to have that guidance. You need to have the Spirit's empowerment to allow you to go to the places where you don't want to go. What is the next step for Paul? He goes, and he gets exactly what he kind of envisioned for himself. It's kind of funny, but you know, he gets exactly what he thought. He knew that the Spirit of God was warning him, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be prison, there are going to be people that are speaking against you, there are people that are going to rebel against you, there are people who are going to openly persecute you in public, there's going to be physical harm. Your life is at risk. But Paul still goes. It's inspirational. But it's not just meant for Paul. I think it really is something that the church needs to take seriously, that each and every one of you need to take seriously. Where is my finish line? What race am I running? What have I even been thinking about those things? If your goal in life is just to live a comfortable life, if your spiritual life is just one more bonus or one more thing that just adds to a good life that you live on in this world, then you're probably viewing things in the wrong way. You're missing the calling, and you're missing the point that God has placed in your life, the purpose, the will that he has for you. Seek those things. even if it means that things in your life have to change, even if it means that things might be very drastic, that things might make you uncomfortable. But if you find it, and if you're compelled, if it's confirmed in your heart, then no matter what you face, you'll be willing to go. You'll be willing to go where God leads you, where the Spirit of God leads you. Your life and the things of this world won't seem so important anymore. That's the type of life that I want to live. That's the life that we should all want to live. God, what is my purpose here? What is my calling? What do you want me to do? What race am I running? And I want to live and I want to do things in a way where I can finish that race, where I can cross that finish line, no matter where it is, no matter what you ask of me. This is the life that Paul lived. I don't know how long I'm going to do this Paul series. I don't know how long. We're running out of chapters in Acts as we kind of go back to the roots so that we could figure out what we're doing with our Light of the World ministry. But when we really take a serious look at Paul's life, it should challenge you. It should make you think, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my spiritual life? What am I doing with my relationship with God? How am I viewing things? And as we see some of the words that he speaks, as we see some of the decisions that he makes, may it challenge your heart, may it convict your heart to start asking yourself what race you're running, where your finish line is, and what changes, what adjustments you need to make in your life so that you would really live a life that's compelled by the Spirit, that's walking in line with the Spirit, that's completing the purpose and the will that God has in your life, even if it takes you to a place that's uncomfortable, that's not part of your own vision for yourself, maybe where you don't want to be. But being people of God that will say, yes, God, I will go. Because you lead me, because you call me, because this is the purpose of my life, I will go. May that be a challenge and in some ways a burden. May it be a blessing to each and every one of you. Let us pray. God, help us to know, not only know, but help us to have conviction towards what you want us to do, what you call us to, our purpose in this life. Help us to start thinking about that on a daily basis, to start praying about it, so that we can start seeing our path, so we could see the route that you lay out for us so that we could get to that finish line, so that we could say that we lived a good life, so that we could say that we fought the good fight, so that we could say that we finished the race. It help us to not run mindlessly, aimlessly, creating our own pseudo finish lines for ourselves. But Lord, we want to be on the path that you set for us. And when we know who we are, when we know whose we are, and when we know the path that we are on, Lord, help us to have the courage and the conviction to finish the race well, to not be afraid. Lord, we thank you for the life of Paul, the way that it challenges us, the way that it really opens up our eyes and opens up our hearts to start really thinking about what you want in this world, at this time, in this place with our lives. But would you bless us? Would you challenge us? Would you convict us? Would you inspire us? Would you empower us? We thank you, God, for your word and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.